Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking God that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus Was Born to Deliver Us. He was born to deliver us. And so many of us enjoy this time of the year, and we exchange gifts. We talk about when we were children. I couldn't remember. I couldn't wait to get to that tree. Sometimes there was 11. I had 11 brothers and sisters, so sometimes we were disobedient, and we went down there and looked what we got. But, you know, we couldn't wait for these times. I don't know when you were a child, did you go Christmas caroling? And we did. We did all those things. But as a child, we didn't understand why he really came, why Jesus really came. And so are we there at 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 through 11? If you didn't bring your Bibles, I have them right here. By the way, if you could see this graph here, that's why I wanted Pastor Art to see this. I wanted to show him because we have a friend, a common friend, that created this by God's grace, Ernie Gonzalez. Yeah, brother. Remember Ernie Gonzalez?
Ernie, yeah.
He created this.
Oh, awesome.
Remember, his ministry was called By God's Grace. And I love how the hand, you know, that was shed, that Jesus shed the blood to destroy the chains of mankind. And so we used to go out and pass tracts and go witnessing, and we'd go to parks, outreaches, what have you. We'd have T-shirts, we had tracts, and we would go with Brother Ernie. Yeah. And that was his right there. He created that.
I grew up with him in Phoenix.
Yes, amen. So let's turn to 1 Thessalonians. Here we go, 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 through 11, and it reads, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing." So we understood that the prophets of old prophesied about the first advent, meaning they prophesied about the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the prophets of old prophesied about the first advent of the Messiah to come to bring hope to where? To the world. Amen? And so we see this in Isaiah. Isaiah 7:14 reads, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name" what? Emmanuel, which means God with us. Amen? And so, Jeremiah also. Let's look at Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise up to David a branch of" what?
Righteousness.
"A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness." Amen. And because Christ came, because he went to the cross and died for your sins and mine, now we can stand before God as righteous. Can I get an amen? Amen. Not self-righteous, because self-righteousness is but filthy rags. But it's the blood of Jesus that washed away our sins. Amen. And now we can stand before a holy God. And you know what I love about it? When God looks down, Guess what he sees? He don't see your sin. He don't see your past sins, your present sin, or your sins in the future. He sees the blood. What can wash away my sins? Who can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen? It's the blood. We need to keep hearing about the blood. Because it's the blood that washes away our sins. Amen? And then the prophets prophesied exactly where he would be born. Look at this. The prophet Micah prophesied his exact birthplace. Look at this right now. In Micah 5:2. Look at this. But you, brethren, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose things going forth are from old and from everlasting. And who is that? The Lord Jesus. Amen. But we also see in the New Testament, we turn to Matthew chapter 1. I'll give you time to go there. If not, I got the scriptures right up here. But look at this in Matthew 1:18 through 21. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her public example, was minded to put her away, what? Secretly. Look at verse 20. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will what? I want you to catch something right here. Let's look at verse 21 here. Let's read that verse again. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his. It don't say all people, right? It says his people from their sins. You see, I went before the Lord and I said, God, you know, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, all that. I go, why does this say for his? For his are the ones that he knew before the foundation of the world that he was going, and they were going to say yes and amen to the call. Did you know that everyone's not going to be saved? How many people do you know? I've been ministering for 37 years. I must have done at least 30 celebration of lives. And I've done somewhere, the one that has deceased never knew Christ. They buried him in an Oakland Raider outfit with a helmet. I was just asked to come do the service. And all his homies were there. And they were putting bottles of what he loved to drink in the coffin. That didn't look like a disciple to me. Not everyone is going to be saved. But God is looking for us, the light of the world, to plant and to seed. To throw the seeds out, amen? Plant and water, and God will give the increase. We don't know who's coming to the saving knowledge. He does. And he wants to use vessels like you and I to be obedient to the call, amen? And he will save those. He will save his people. We don't know who they are. That's why we can't judge no one. God says, judge not, lest you be judged. We are to be obedient to the call. Now, one thing is fact. One thing is fact. That when Jesus comes again the second time, the Bible says every knee shall bow. Now, it didn't say his people knee will bow. It said every knee shall bow. It's right up here in Philippians. Look at this. Philippians 2:10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, there's going to be two seats of judgment the book of Revelation talks about. There's going to be the Bema seat of Christ, where us believers will stand before Jesus. It's not about salvation. He's going to judge what we did when we were called. We're saved, but there are certain things he's going to address to us as believers. What we did, what we said, how we treated one another. But the white throne judgment, you and I won't be standing in that line. Those are the ones that are going to be cast into the lake of fire, because they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They rejected the call. They didn't want nothing to do with God. And so, I know this is not your Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer message, you know, or Santa's coming to town message. But we must speak the truth of the Word of God. Amen? Why he came. Why he came. He came to die and to rise again, to give us a hope, a lively hope. You see, look at this. God has heralded his one and only message, and that is for all people to repent and to turn to God. You know why there's people that struggle? You know, they'll come to church, they'll go to your church, my church, wherever church, and, you know, they may say a sinner's prayer, and yet they struggle. They still curse, they still drink, they still wrap ungodly stuff, because they never repented. They never really turned to God. See, when you turn to God and you say, God, I'm tired of being sick and tired of this. I need you now, God. And when you come and turn to God with your whole heart, that's when you get a hold of heaven. Yeah. That's when he will apprehend your heart. Hallelujah. Why? Because you've given it to him. This is not just, yeah, I said a prayer. Because with true repentance, there will be true change. That life will now start living sanctified, set apart for his good use and service. That changed life will want God. It'll hunger for God. It'll want to come to prayer. It'll want to read the Word. It'll want to speak and teach and share and tell people about Jesus. But if you are not converted that way, you will never open your mouth to nobody, because he's not living there. But when he lives inside, you are compelled. Woo! It'll flow out of you. Can I get amen? Thank you, God. So God has heralded his one and only message that is for all people to repent and turn to God. I got scripture for this. Look at this in Acts 3:18. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of his prophets that Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent! Oh! Here's that word. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You see, if you want to be refreshed, you want, hallelujah, to be converted, you got to repent. You got to turn to Jesus with your whole heart, not your half heart, not lip service. Can I get amen? Look at 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering. How many know that God is long-suffering? Did you know he was long-suffering with you? For 30 years, he was long-suffering with me. I shared my testimony. He was long-suffering with me. But look at this. But is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to where?
Repentance.
Disneyland?
No.
A walk in the park? Come to a church service? Join the church? No. That we would come to repentance.
Right.
Repentance. Some churches don't talk about repent no more. They leave that out. And that's why you have a lot of unconverted souls in there. Look at this. The Old Testament saints, John, the Baptist, Jesus, and the apostles proclaimed the same message to repent. To repent. Look at Isaiah 55 right up here. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon his name. He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to God, to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. What? For my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, says the Lord. And here's John the Baptist. Look at this. Who knows who John the Baptist is? Jesus is what? His primo. His cousin, right? First cousin. I was surprised yesterday when the girls were doing tamales that my Uncle Jerry right there. Uncle, just raise your hand. Yeah. His first cousin is the father of Selena. You know that Mexican singer, Selena?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you're related.
They're related. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're all from Corpus Christi. I go, whoa. Thank God. Man, that was amazing. Well, I need a chat with you. But what was the message that they brought? Did they sing songs of Tiny Tim? Tiptoe through the tulips? Did they say, oh, better days are coming again? No. Look at what it says right here. In Matthew 3, 1 through 3. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent! For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Meaning, God came down from heaven to meet with man now. Woo! Man, I'm telling you, we got invaded by heaven. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path what? Straight. So he was the forerunner. The prophets foretold, and then John came and was the forerunner. Look at Matthew 4:16 says, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So now Jesus was tagged, you're it. John passed the mantle to Jesus and says, now go preach, repent. See, he had to bring that message before he could do his miracles. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We see this early in Scripture. Look what it says in Luke 5. And their scribes and Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Look what Jesus said. Those who are well have no need of a physician. These are the self-righteous folks. Some of them are in our churches too. They're self-righteous. But those who are sick, look at this. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to what? There you go. Today when you leave here, I want that word to be in your mind. Repent, repent. Because that's the message you need to give to those who God is going to have divine encounters with you. Oh yeah, just invite Jesus in your heart. No, you need to repent. You need to be sorry for your sin. You don't need to understand to be sorrowful, to be grievous over your sin. And then turn to God that He can convert you. And then God will do a brand new life in you. A life that you always wanted. When the custodian led me to Christ, man, His presence has never left me. 37 years now. Man, I'm still on fire for Him. Thank you, Jesus. It's but the grace of God. It's but the mercy of God. It's not any righteousness that I have done, but everything was by His mercy. His mercy. Look at Acts 2:38. This is Peter's first sermon. This is when the Holy Ghost was poured out on the day of Pentecost. And they were there. Millions were there in Jerusalem celebrating one of the feasts. And this was the fourth feast. And they thought that these men up here, the 120 in the upper room, were drunk. They weren't drunk. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. And so Peter had to step down and make it clear. And so after he told them, it was you guys who crucified Christ. It was you. And so a conviction came. And so they said, well, what shall we do? This is what Peter said. Then Peter said to them, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, for forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises to you and to your children, and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. You know, this scripture right here, when I first started Home Fellowship here about 32 years ago, I was with Mission Valley Christian Fellowship with Pastor Leo. He had like 3,000 at that time. They were 3,000 deep at that time. And there was 12 home fellowships. We were the South Bay. Because you remember those days. You were there part of that early time. And we have a jacuzzi in our patio. And every Friday, souls were coming out of that water. We were baptizing souls. Because we believe what this says, repent and then be baptized. Those of you who have never been baptized, today is a great opportunity. Jacuzzi's 85 degrees. It's not cold. Can I get amen?
Amen.
That's the message. Repent. And then be baptized. Remission means for the forgiveness of sins. In other words, He wants to wash away your sins. My goodness, God will pour out His Spirit upon you. How many have we seen come out of that water and are never the same again? See this brother right here?
Booyah.
Brother Steve. Steve Eustace right here. Can I share real quick, brother?
Sure.
When we were attending Mission Valley, we had four services in one day. 3 in the morning and 1 in the evening. And him and his brother would come to the 7:45. Sat in the front. Pastor Leo put together a prayer team. And I led the prayer team. And I never left home. I did the first service, second service, third service. Go get a bite to eat, came back for the evening service. Me and Yolanda led the whole prayer team. And so Pastor Leo started doing a study on the book of Acts. I go, Pastor Leo, you don't know what you're asking here. I go, are you ready for this? He goes, I'm ready, man. He goes, I need the Holy Spirit to come into this place. And so we did an altar call and everything. And the Lord just had me ask, Steve, have you been baptized yet? He goes, no. I said, come out to our home fellowship and come and get baptized. So him and four other brothers, the whole place was packed like this. Him and four other brothers came. We went out there. Little did I know, the whole time until he got baptized, he was lit up on crystal meth. He was in church. He was in church. He was there at 7:45. That's why he never did this. He was like that. Oh, man. He loves Pastor Leo. But when he came out of the water, the Holy Ghost fell on him. And he immediately was delivered. He didn't go through 1 second of withdrawal, like me. Set free. Huh? John 3. Oh, it's 3:16.
It was a divine day.
Five brothers got baptized that night.
Booyah! The Holy Ghost came.
Man, I'm telling you. Woo! Listen, if you guys, if anyone here has never been baptized, I'm telling you, you will experience something that you've never experienced in your whole life, and you'll come to an understanding. This is what I've been looking for, but I've been looking for this in all the wrong places. You know, there's an old country and western song, looking for love in all wrong places. Jesus. Jesus. Look at this in Acts 3:18. Look at this. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of his prophets that Christ would suffer, he thus was fulfilled. He said, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be what? Blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come. Man, I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit fell upon me, man, I had joy unspeakable and full of glory. Man, I was walking around like just joy in my heart. Man, it was every day. Every day I would wake up. It was like on me like glue. And there were times, there were moments, just few moments. I was working at Western Lumber, and we would have break in the nail sheds, because I worked in the truss yard, and we had big plated nails. And where all the box of nails were, we had lunch in there. And then there was a little restroom out there for those who needed. And there were a couple of times, and I was just new in the Christ of the babe. I just got saved. And I didn't feel him moving around in me no more. So I went into the restroom and I started crying. I said, God, where are you? And then all of a sudden, I never left you. Man, there have been times where he's on me so thick. I'm saying, God, can you back off? I'm going to explode. Man, I'm telling you, when you have that encounter with him, the human mind cannot comprehend it. You can't explain it unless it's happened to you. But here's the thing. Look at this. Why does the majority of the world cannot hear God's message? Why can't they hear what we're talking about? We're talking about what? Repent. We're talking about being saved. We're talking about deliverance. Why can't they hear the good news? You ever ask yourself that? How many of you can honestly say you have family members or friends that are not saved? And they don't want to hear it. A lot of them will say, I'm glad you found religion. I'm glad you found God. That was good for you. But they don't want to hear it, huh? Well, the Bible has answers for that. See, this is where you have to be in the Word to get your instructions and your discernment and the knowledge and wisdom. It's right here in 1 Corinthians. Look at this. But the natural man, this is the unsaved, unregenerate person, never been saved. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. So when you're sharing them about God, it's foolishness to him or to her. They don't look at it like what happened to you. They don't care. But that's good for you. Because it's foolishness to them. Look at this. Nor can they know them. Look at this. Because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You see, the gospel is foolish to them. They don't get it. And here's a deeper dive, not right now. We're going to go to a deeper dive. Look at this in 2 Corinthians 4:3. But even if our gospel is veiled, meaning if it's hid, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds... Who's the god of this age? Little g? Satan. The devil. False gods, whatever. Has blinded who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Look at that. There's an answer to everything. Why? So don't get mad at them when they say no. Ah, you pray for them. Say, God, lift the veil. God, lift the veil from their eyes so they can see. Take the bumblebee wax out of their ears, God, so they can hear. Because some of it is packed in there, really, really. Give them ears to hear, eyes to see, God. They won't see it. They see religion. But they don't understand you can have a relationship with God. Look what it says in John 12:37. I know, we're coming in. We're coming in for a close. Tamales are not running nowhere. Look at John 12:37. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. What? Did you know in the book of John it said that he did so many miracles, there was not enough books to write about him. We're just getting a smidgen of what he did. But look at this. That the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled which he spoke. Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord has been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe because Isaiah said, this is old Slewfoot, this is the devil. He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn, so that I would heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Amen. It's our job as believers is to tell them about the glory of God, to give them the good news, whether they want to hear it or not. Because let me just say this, what you say to them will not come back void. Because what you will be doing is planting the seed of God in their heart. And only God can give the increase. And maybe someone has sown. So now you're coming by and you're watering it. Look at this. He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn. And so we read that. Let's look at this right here. Born again believers must continue to preach the truth, the word of truth. Amen?
Amen.
How many believe that?
Amen.
How many believe that?
Amen.
Look what it says in Romans 10:13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a what?
Preacher.
Turn to your neighbor and say, God's called you to preach. Make sure you turn to the other side too. Both sides. And if you turn to the wall, You're telling yourself. We're called to preach. Look at this. And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. This is how God looks at us when we preach the gospel. His heart leaps with joy when we go out and preach the good news. Because we're called to preach, amen?
Amen?
And this is one, this next scripture, we should always, never be ashamed to open our mouth when we're with our family and friends, on the job, acquaintances, close people, wherever they are to you. You know, every one of us in here has a sphere of influence. What does that mean? Like my life, around my sphere, there's people that I know in my life that maybe you guys will never meet ever, and vice versa. There's people in your lives I may never meet, but they're in your sphere of influence. They're in your world, right? And so, be like Paul. He said it best, right up here. For I'm not ashamed. Say that with me. I am not ashamed. One more time. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You know, I had to ask God, I go, God, what do you mean the just shall live by faith? I go, who are the just? Turn to your neighbor and say, you are the just. If you are truly saved, listen, if you are truly saved, if you are truly saved, God said, I have justified you. And you know what? Here's the confidence that we have. What that means is just as if you've never sinned. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Come on, give God a shout of praise. Woo, man. The things that God has done for us. Nothing but the blood. And so in closing, yeah, I'm going to close. Jesus is our only hope. Jesus, not Allah, not Confucius, not Buddha. Not your little idols that we have at home. Some of us have idols at home. What's your idol? What have you put before God? Let's pause here. What have you put before God that God is saying, you know what? I'll never forget. God dealt with me because I wanted to go deeper with Him. And God spoke to me clearly. He goes, who's sitting on your throne of your heart? And when I first got saved, I was a season ticket holder for the San Diego Chargers. So I couldn't wait. Right after service, boom, I was gone. I had to go catch the game. And every now and then I would hear God say, are you ready to give those to me? But Lord, you know, it took about a year and a half. Finally, I was doing an open house in Ramona, because I'm a realtor too, and I was driving down. What's that mountain in Ramona?
Wildcat.
By Barona's?
Wildcat.
Wildcat. I was driving down. I heard God speak loud and clear. Are you going to give those to me now? I said, yeah, Lord, I am. And I kicked those things off the throne room of my heart. And little did I know, he had a ministry waiting for me. And that's when he allowed Yolanda and I to have a home fellowship, to start teaching the saints. From that moment on, I surrendered those things. I said, those things I don't need no more. I don't need these things that will hinder me, hinder my walk. What's hindering you today? You didn't get enough gifts under the tree this year? What is it?
You don't like your gift?
What are the things in your world? Some of you have beautiful children, wonderful children, but you can't hold them above God either. You can't hold nothing before them, before God. God has to come first. You want to go further with God? Everything has to be secondary. What's in your garage? Is there something in your garage that's an idol to you? Huh? What do you have? A 65 Rivera, I hear? That your idol? Anyone got lowriders? Are they your idols? What's your idol? What is before that you would miss even service? What is it? Because we're all going to stand before God. We're going to stand before God. What is it? Sports? Sports your idol? What's your idol? If he's not coming first, guess what? You'll really never know what he truly wants to do in your life. Because you haven't surrendered those things to him. When you sell out and say, God, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done in my life. Man, God will take you to deeper depths and higher heights with him. Yolanda and I would have never had a clue when I gave up those season tickets that were an idol to me. And then he propelled us into home fellowship, which led to my ordination. Then I got ordained, and then God opened another door to pastor. But if those idols were in my life, he would have went on to the next one that really wants to go further with him. Because God's a gentleman. If you don't give that to him, those areas in your life, he's not going to just rip them out from you. He wants you to come. Like remember when the kings came and brought frankincense and myrrh? They humbled themselves and they gave them their gifts to this little baby. Bring those things that are idols in your life and give them to him. Like you're a little baby. I'm done with these now. I'm done with this now. And until God does that, until you make that move with God, it's just going to be business as usual. You're just going to live the little common congregant life. He's our only hope.
That's right.
He's our only hope. Lord. By the way, I do want to give a great shout out to our sister Ginger back there.
Amen.
1 week she made some killer ceviche. Oh my gosh. And then she made, those of you who missed it, she made some menudo that was out of this world. You know what? It smelled so good. There's menudo, they stink. And if that bowl stinks, I don't touch it. You know why? Because the tribe is not cleaned. Man, this tasted like, yeah, fresh. Yes. And so I just want to say thank you for blessing the house. And then I think she brought some beans. Woo! We got some beans with them tamales. So let's close. I'm little close. Yes. Hurry up. Hurry up. Someone's saying, hurry up. All right, let's look. Jesus is our only hope. Look at this. Paul said it best. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have until now, yes, we also, let's see, yes, have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption of the redemption of our body. How many can't wait for that new body? Hallelujah, I can't wait for that new body. Woo, I keep telling myself, my body's going to be about 80 pounds lighter, and it's going to have some hair on it. The new body. Oh yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be a glorious body. Hallelujah, thank you God. Amen. You know what? When God does something good, He does it great. Look at this. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? No, we are to hope of, because it hasn't happened yet, right? So we're hoping that it will come. A change is coming. Who? How many can't wait for the change? Look at this. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes what? Intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Praise God. Praise God. And I close with this scripture here. I believe I do. Yes. Oh, we're coming. Okay. So we're coming in for a soft landing or a hard landing? No, soft landing. I'm going to keep going. Hard landing over there. Hard landing. Now he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. How many times you're on your knees and you're praying and you don't even know what you're praying for? You don't even know how to pray for yourself. A lot of times, the Holy Spirit will take over. And He will pray for you. Amen? And we'll close in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things. Say that with me. All things. One more time. All things. We know that all things work together for good. To those who love God. To those who are called according to His will and purpose. For whom he foreknew. Turn to your neighbor. He foreknew you. And then turn to your neighbors and say, he also predestined you to be conformed to the image of his son. So as believers, every day we're being sanctified, set apart, because we've been justified by God. Now he's sanctifying us. Hallelujah. Are we perfect? No. But he's whacking off all that excess off us every day. Thank you, God. Look at this. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Look at this. Moreover, whom he predestined, these also he called. Turn to your neighbor, say, he called you. One more time, he called you. Whom he called, look at this. These also he justified. And whom he justified, these also he glorified. What does that mean? He glorified us. You can't see this yet. He's talking about a future in our glorified body. That brand new body. Can I get an amen? Amen. So in his mind, he sees you already in that new body. And we are to hope for it. Can I get an amen? Amen. He sees us. Woo! I know you don't see it yet in me, but it's coming. I don't see it in you yet either. but it's coming. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up to us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And so who shall bring a charge to God's elect? It is God who justifies. Amen? Doesn't he justify us? Look at this. Who is he who condemns? Let me just say this so we get the record clear. Satan is the one that condemns you. Jesus is the one that convicts you. There's a difference. Conviction brings you to repentance. Condemnation belittles you and ostracizes you. And you are condemned in your heart. That's what Satan does. He wants to condemn you. So look at that. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, who is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Or distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? How about peril? How about sword? As it is written, for your sake, we're all killed all day long. Every day we wake up with issues, don't we? Man, we wake up with isms and schisms. If it ain't this, is that. If it ain't that, is this. Oh, come on, every day. We're killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But yet, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Come on. Are we more than conquerors? To them who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Come on, give him a shout of praise. Is he worthy? Come on, is he worthy? Amen. Listen, we want to give an opportunity for Facebook and YouTube that's with us. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you. Maybe you've never given your heart to Christ. Maybe you logged on and were looking for the word amazing and you came across the Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. And now you're locked in. And now you're curious. God has gotten your attention. Or maybe you've been watching for several months now and never gave your heart to Christ. Here's your opportunity. Right now. To truly repent. Turn to the Lord Jesus with your whole heart, soul, and mind. Remember, the opening of this message was to turn. Turn, repent. Turn from the world. Turn from the things that are detestable sometimes to God. Turn to God. And lay everything at his feet and say this prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous. Saints of God, pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Woo!
The Bible says, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.